God has more for you than just Sunday morning church, okay? God has more for you than just Sunday morning church. And for one thing, he has the 21 days of prayer coming up, starting tomorrow morning again. This building will be open. This worship center will be open from 6 a.m. through midday for you to come and go as you desire, whatever works into your schedule. Spend as much time as you would like in prayer, but it will be powerful as you make time for prayer over these 21 days. And then be here Wednesday night for a powerful night. I'll say more about that in a few moments. But here's my encouragement in 2026. Go all in with God this year. Just go all in with God and see what God will do in your life. Again, this series we're launching today is based around the four principles that are in the book that I wrote that's available out in the lobby. It's an acrostic. And so today, the core life, which I believe can lead people into a full life with Christ, the first letter is connect. And it means prayer. It means connecting with God. And so today, I want to teach you how to experience more of God, more with God in this year than maybe ever before. And so to do that, we have to be people of prayer. And let me just mention quickly, we have other resources that are available that we've made available time and time again on the 21 days of prayer. And if you have not picked up any of these resources, they're free to you. And especially in this prayer guide, I'll mention about it in a few moments again. But there are many prayer principles that are in this booklet that will help you in developing your prayer life with God. And so here's what my hope is for you today. I'll just be right up front. I want you to pray better. Okay? To pray more equipped, more confident, more comfortable in praying to God. Does that sound good? Because prayer is so essential. And it's so important for us to understand it. So let me hop in. If you got blank paper, you can write these down. If you got the notes, then you can just follow along. The first thing in prayer is the priority of prayer. We can pray whenever. You can pray in your car. You can pray wherever you go. But I do think it's important to set aside times of prayer, to set aside like appointments. When something's important, you make an appointment, right? You make appointments. And meeting with God is important. And so setting aside time. And I think there's something to be said about how we start our day, you know, as to how it goes. Maybe you have kind of a routine that you do, but I want to suggest a routine to you, and that is when the alarm goes off and you're laying there in bed and it's time to get up, that you, instead of just shooting out of bed or checking your phone or whatever it is that you do, just take a moment and just say, "Good morning, Lord." Instead of, "Good Lord, it's morning," okay? Okay, so, "Good morning, Lord. Oh, thank you that I woke up. Thank you that I'm breathing, that I'm alive, and you've got purpose for me today. And Lord, as I'm about ready to get out of this bed, I just pray that you'll be with me today And as my feet hit the floor, I know that you have purpose for my life today. Go with me. Go before me. And as you start your day like that, how many think that might change the day? It could change as you set time and just pray, and then throughout the day, and before you even eat, before you lift your fork, why don't you give thanks to the God who provided that meal for you? And say, oh, Lord, we want to stop and thank you that we have this food, because everybody in the world doesn't have this today. Everybody doesn't have all that's on this table in front of me. So, Lord, I just want to thank you. I just want to praise you for this. And we ask your blessings on it. And before you go on a trip, maybe you're getting ready to go on a trip, before you ever back out of the driveway, before you hop on the plane, why don't you just, if you're with somebody, then you gather with them. If you're by yourself, you just pray there in the terminal, and you just say, Lord, as I'm getting ready to get on this plane, Lord, as we're getting ready to back out this car and take off on our vacation, take off on this business trip or whatever it is, Lord, would you go before me? Would you guide me? Would you lead me? Lord, if there's somebody I need to talk to, Lord, help me to be sensitive to that. And Lord, would you protect this car and protect us and watch over us, Lord, and be with us and be with the pilot, Lord. Keep him awake, Lord. Whatever. And you just pray. And wouldn't that be better to just start everything before you go into the meeting? And especially if it's an important meeting, you just say, Lord, as I'm about ready to meet with my boss, and you know this is an important meeting, Lord, give me wisdom. Give me direction. Help me to know what I should say. And Lord, give me the right attitude so it comes across right. And Lord, in this meeting, maybe you got to say some hard things to somebody. And you just say, Lord, help me to just say this in a way that it can be received. And Lord, put your hand on them so that they hear it right, and so that this goes in the right direction. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? What if that would happen? If you just start the day like that. Proverbs 3:9 says this: honor the Lord with your wealth. Now, these two verses are really more about financial giving to the Lord, but I think the principle applies all the way across the board. Here's what it says: honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. In other words, what they believed is we got to give to the Lord first. We don't give to the Lord our leftovers. If some of you are giving leftovers to God, that may be why you have the results you have. They gave their first fruits of all their crops to God. Then he says, then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats brim over to new wine. See, I believe that's the reason why it's so important on the first day of the week, you know, on Sunday, and hey, you got perfect attendance so far in 2026. Touch your neighbor and say, hey, I'm perfect so far. I'm perfect so far. All right, it ain't gonna last long, but I'm perfect so far, all right? And so you come and you set that day aside and you say, oh, Lord, I need your blessing on my week. I want your blessing on my week. And so on this first day of the week, I set it aside, and I come into your house, and I lift up holy hands unto you, and I surrender to you, and I ask you, Lord, to just put favor on my life this week. And as you bring your first fruits and your tithes and your offerings, you put him first in your life. What might happen in your life if you did this? If you put God first, if you made him first and foremost, not just important, but priority in your life. Because prayer should be our first response, not our last resort. And then there's the place of prayer. So the priority of prayer, but then the place of prayer. Look at this in Mark chapter 1. You maybe haven't seen this before. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Most Bible scholars believe that Jesus had a place of prayer, or some places of prayer where he would regularly go and get with the Father. How many think if the perfect Son of God, the Messiah of the world, needed to get up and pray, you might need to get up and pray? You see that? And so he had this, and he would get this place of prayer. And I just want to encourage you, over these 21 days of prayer, some of you, you need to make that place of prayer perhaps right here. That you come here into this room and pray. Because some of you, you don't go to the gym unless you pay a trainer. Where are you? Huh? But hey, you say, oh, my money's going there. I better go there. Otherwise, you'd stay in bed. Otherwise, you'd do something else or whatever. But because you, I got to go. I got to be, somebody's expecting me and all. Let me tell you something. The Lord's waiting on you to show up. He's waiting on you to come in and to talk to him and to pray to him. And when you do, he's going to talk to you. He's going to speak to you. So you find your place. And let me just say, get a little personal here. I like to start out praying most oftentimes kneeling. And the reason why I take that posture is because I know who he is and I know who I am. And I don't get confused about the two. All right? He is God and I am not. And so I kneel before him in humility to just say, Lord, I need you today. I surrender to you. Lord, you are the great and awesome God, and your name is great and worthy of praise. Now, there's other times where I'll walk and pray. There are many times in this sanctuary where I will pray back and forth across this front. And I'm praying, Lord, be with us this Sunday. Lord, help people in this section right over here to get blessed this week and meet their needs and touch their life. And Lord, up there, and I'll just pray over the room and I'll just wave my hands around and I'll just pray, Lord, move in this place. There's other times where I might be on my face before God and just prostrate before him, or I might just stand before him. It doesn't matter so much, but that you do it, all right? That you just do what God wants you to do. Find a place. Let me say it this way. Find a place where the noise of life grows quiet and the voice of God grows clear. Okay? So less noise, more God is how it works. All right, here's the next one, plan of prayer. Ephesians chapter 6 says it like this. Pray in the Spirit in every situation. Use every kind of prayer and request there is. Every kind of prayer. Evidently, there's different types of prayer. And so there's days where you just need to pray against the demonic strongholds of the enemy. We'll talk about that more in a few moments. But you just do warfare against the enemy on behalf of your kids, on behalf of your family, on behalf of your friends or whatever, and you just do that. There's other days where you just spend time worshiping the Lord. Oh, I just want to praise you, God. You're so worthy of praise. Oh, I could just take all day and just thank you for your goodness, your favor. You've been there, God, time and time again in my life. And I just want to praise you. I just want to worship you. But the best way to pray consistently is to stop leaving it to chance. Okay? There's nothing good that really happens much in life by chance. You know? How many, you just lose weight by chance. You know, just, you get fit by chance. Oh, wow, I've got six pack now. I didn't even try for that. Said nobody, right? So when you have no Bible, no booklet, and no training like you're getting today, it equals no prayer. But when you get equipped and you have your Bible and you have your prayer guide and you have your journal and you get a set time before the Lord, guess what? You make time for prayer and God moves. Here's the next one, is the power of prayer. New Testament prayer. Have you ever read through like the book of Acts and read about their prayer meetings? And then you look at people's prayer life and you're like, you know, or maybe you grew up in a church and it doesn't quite look like the book of Acts. Because let me just tell you one of their prayer meetings. One of their prayer meetings, it says they all got together in one place and they prayed, and they prayed so intently that the place was shaken where they were assembled. Have you been in those meetings? If not, then why not? Because I believe that our prayer ought to look like the Bible. Okay? It's not what you grew up with or whatever. Look at the Bible. And does your prayer life look like that? Here's what James said. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. That word fervent in the original Greek is energeo, which is where we get our word energy. In other words, he says, you ought to pray fervently. You ought to pray with energy. You ought to pray with potency. There ought to be a passion when you come to prayer. And I just want to encourage you this Wednesday night at 7:00, would you bring your passion, your energy into this room for 1 hour and pray like everything? Would you do that? I believe if we would do that, maybe we'd see something happen. We'd see our community shaken. We'd see our world shaken. You might see your life shaken. You might see your marriage shaken. You might see your health get improved. God moves when people pray. And let me say it like this. If your prayers don't move you, then don't expect them to move mountains. They need to be words of passion. Here's the last thing is, the persons of prayer. I talked about this last week when we were talking about the three baptisms and how there's a trinity of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And we relate to God, even though we don't understand and comprehend all that God is, we understand as he's revealed in Scripture that he is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Let me read it to you in 2 Corinthians 13. It says, the amazing grace of the Master, Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, the Father, and the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. So we have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now, how should we pray? In all of the years that I have read the Bible through, okay, I would say to you today, here's how I feel that we should pray to God. We should go, like Jesus said, and we'll look at this in a moment, to our Father. He says, you've got a Father, and you should call on the Father. But you call on him, Jesus said, in my name. Not your name, not how great you are, but because of me. And so we go to the Father, we pray to the Father in Jesus' name with the friendship of the Holy Spirit with us. And so then the Holy Spirit can help guide us in our prayers. As a matter of fact, in Romans chapter 8, it goes so far as to say, when I don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit does. He knows how to pray, and he prays through us in ways that we don't even comprehend. Paul says, sometimes I pray, and I know what I'm saying, and there's times I pray, I don't even know what I'm saying. Holy Spirit's praying through me. And so we need to have those times of prayer. And so the Holy Spirit helps. And he can guide us in our prayer because we don't know. Lord, I don't know. Have you ever done this? Lord, I don't know if you need to heal them or take them to heaven. There's times I don't know. But I know who knows. And so the Holy Spirit can help us and guide us. There's been times, I've told you this before, when I've been praying and I've been saying, Lord, Rochelle, she just needs your help, Lord. She just needs your help, Lord, to be the wife she needs to be, you know, in my life. And so, Lord, would you just help her? And the Holy Spirit says, hold up. That's not where we need to go with this. No, we need to circle back around, and we need you to pray for you. Because here's what you need. Don't leave me up here by myself, all right? Anybody had this kind of prayer life where the Holy Spirit speaks to you and guides you and leads you? Because you're praying, Lord, touch my boss. Lord, touch my ex-wife. Lord, touch this person. Lord, and God says, okay, now let's talk about you right now. And how many know there's only one person you can change, right? And it's you. And so the Holy Spirit helps us. Now, I want to focus the remainder of our time teaching you how to pray. There's a prayer model. It's in this prayer guide. And there's several models in here. But the primary model that I think there is for prayer came from Jesus. Okay? Jesus taught us how to pray. The Lord's Prayer is a model prayer to help us pray. And in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, it says, one day Jesus was praying, and check this out, in a certain place. There it is again. It's like he had a certain place often that he would go. When he finished praying, they just let him pray. But when he finished, one of the disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. In other words, Lord, teach us to pray like that kind of prayer that we just watched, that we just heard. In other words, we don't pray like that, but we think we should. We think it'd be good if we prayed like that. So could you teach us how to pray? And Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. So here's what we're going to do. If you got this pulled up on your Bible app in the NIV version, if you have the notes in front of you that were printed out because it was supposed to be on the screen, but it's not, okay, but we can still have church anyway, come on. All right, so Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 13. This isn't the only place it's recorded, but this is the place that most are familiar with, the Lord's Prayer. And I'm going to read it. I want you to read it with me from the NIV version. Even though I know there's a lot of translations out there, this is the one that sold the most copies in the last 25 years. And so that's the one we're going to go with here today. This then, Jesus said, is how you should pray. You ready? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Yeah, give yourselves a hand for that, all right? So here's what I believe. When Jesus gave that prayer, that was not just pray this every day, because it takes about 20 seconds to pray that prayer. And Jesus asked them, can you not pray an hour? So do you think what he meant was just pray that over and over and over and over and over and over, and over again for an hour? No, that'd wear you out and him out, probably, right? That wasn't what he was saying. But here's what he was doing as a rabbi. As a rabbi, he was teaching his disciples a principle. Here are seven aspects of prayer that you should have in your prayer life. And so he illustrated this by giving them model words to model after in prayer. And so what I want to do now next for the next few moments is give you those seven phrases that Jesus used and how you can use them in your prayer life. Here's how it goes. Our Father in heaven. In other words, connect with God relationally. When Jesus was talking about your heavenly Father, that was not the typical way that people thought they could pray to God as a father. But Jesus, over and over and over again, is teaching the principle of you have a Father in heaven, that you don't follow him religiously, you follow him relationally. Okay, because have you ever heard people say, this just kind of irritates me when people say that, they'll say, well, they're a religious person. And I think, that's not telling me anything. You can be religious. The devil's religious, you know, as far as he knows who God is, respects and awes God. But do you know God? Do you know him intimately? Listen, God wants to be in an intimate relationship with you. Check it out. It's from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible. You open up in the very beginning of the Bible. God wanted to walk with them and talk with them in the garden. You read all the way through till you get to the end of the book, and they're back in a garden again. They're back in a relationship with God. And God says, oh, I'm so glad I got my people with me so we can walk together, so we can talk together. Oh, I've been waiting for this day to have all my people together at the same time. That's what God wants. And your view of God will determine your relationship with him. It's likewise talking about on Christmas Eve services. How you see him is how you relate to him. Because if you see him as a father, then you're going to be drawn to him. Look at this in Romans chapter 8, verse 15. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. You don't say, oh, no, you know, God, I know you probably don't want to do this. And Father, I know you probably are upset because I missed last Sunday. And Lord, I know that I'm not a perfect person. So you probably don't want to heal me. You probably don't want to do anything. And you probably don't want to. No, he says, you don't come to him as fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children, like we talked about at Christmas. Now we call him Abba, Father. And maybe you've heard this before. Maybe I've even taught it to you before. Maybe you heard it somewhere else. But that word Abba, Father is a term of endearment. It's kind of like saying, like we say, Daddy. And so when Jesus is saying that you talk to your heavenly Father, and then it's just saying you call him Abba, Father, he's saying you talk to him like you would your dad. You just speak to him and you say, oh, Dad, I need you. And your dad says, well, hey, what do you need? And God says, that's how I want us to relate. I want us to relate in a relationship. And we come to him and we say with confidence, Lord, I know your mercies are new every morning. I'm forgiven. I'm washed. I'm set free. I'm a child of God. I don't deserve to be in your family, but you adopted me into your family. And now I come to you, Father, and I'm asking this. And so we have confidence when we pray. And here's the next thing. Hallowed be your name. Here's what we do. We worship his name. You spend time just adoring him. Oh, come, let us adore him. And you do this before you start asking. You don't come barging in. Father, I need you to do this. Father, I need you to do that. How many of that works great at your house? Huh? Yeah, it's like, butter me up first, right? And that's in the natural. And so before you start asking, you say, oh, Lord, I just want to worship your name. You are holy and you are worthy of praise. You are just. You're our shield. You're our protector. You're our shelter. You're our shepherd. You're our provider. You're the Lord God and you change not. You're worthy of honor. You're worthy of glory. You're worthy of praise. And the Bible says that gets his attention. It says he inhabits the praise of his people. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 says, therefore God exalted him to the highest place, gave him, check this out, the name that is above every name. That at the name of what? Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. There are powerful names in the world. There are names like cancer. It's a powerful name. There's names like divorce that can rattle your life. There are names like bankruptcy that can shake your foundations. But I want you to know today that the name of cancer, according to Scripture, has to bow its knee to the name of Jesus. Okay? That bankruptcy has to bow its knee to the name of Jesus. Depression has to bow its knee to the name of Jesus. Anxiety has to bow its knee to the name of Jesus. Fear has to bow its knee to the name of Jesus. There is no other name higher than the name of Jesus. How many are glad for the name of Jesus today? Oh, there's power in that name. So you just spend time praising him for who he is. And then your kingdom come, your will be done. Now check this out. You pray his agenda first. You still haven't gotten to your thing yet. You just out of common courtesy just say, Lord, what do you want today? Your will be done. What do you want to accomplish today? What's on your agenda? Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, then all these things will be added to you. What's it talking about? It's talking about everything you need in life. All the things you really need. Let me say it this way. Take care of his agenda and he'll take care of your agenda. You take care of what's important to him first. And Luke 12, verse 31 says, he will always give you, this is powerful. I like the way the Living Bible says it. He will always give you all you need from day to day if you will make the kingdom of God your primary concern. See, if you would just put him first in 2026. Not he's important. He's important to a lot of people. But he's not priority. He's important, but he's not priority. He needs to be preeminent. In other words, there's no one before him. And when we have God's agenda on our radar, I'll clue you in, it always involves people. Because God's more interested in people than things. And when we put his agenda first, he will work on our agenda. Give us this day our daily bread. Now here's where we get to our things. You depend on him for everything. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But not on my own. So it's not just what you think you need, it's everything. You need him for everything. And again, this is where some people get messed up and they think God is the great withholder. That God's like, oh, I know you need healing, but I'm not going to give it. Oh, I know you need a miracle, but I'm going to hold it up here. No, your heavenly Father wants to do good things. Look at this. Luke 12, 31. He will always give you all you need from day to day if you make the kingdom of God your primary concern. Matthew 7, 11. How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Philippians 4, 19. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Lord, I know you want to meet my needs. So, Lord, I just thank you that you're already moving on my behalf. See, I just have that mindset. And then forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Get your heart right with God and with people. And watch how clean your heart will feel. You know, when you get your heart right with God, when you really get clean before the Lord, how many know what I'm talking about? When you get really clean, how many, you've got little kids, and they get in the tub, and if they're not playing or whatever, they'll get out. You say, no, that's not clean. Get back in there. Get back in there. Matter of fact, let me help you right here, you know. You're like, scrub-a-dub-dub, right? Because it doesn't do any good just get wet. That's not clean. And see, sometimes I think we don't know how good it feels to get all of our sin out there, to just confess everything to God and just walk away clean and feeling refreshed by the Lord. How many know what I'm talking about? That you just feel good. 1 John 1:9, one of my favorite verses in all the Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to purify us from all unrighteousness. If I'll just confess my sin, he's anxious and excited and ready to forgive me of my sins. And check this out in Matthew 6:14. If you forgive other people, this is Jesus, when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Let me tell you something. Jesus is big on forgiveness. Not just his forgiveness, but your forgiveness. That you would let go of other things. You say, but Craig, you just don't know how bad they hurt me or what. It doesn't matter. Listen, you don't have to give them power over you. Are you hearing me? You don't have to have them have all the power. You take the power back and you say, you know, I don't care. If you like me, don't like me, I don't care. If you cuss me out tomorrow, upside down, right side up, whatever, I don't care about that. What I do care about is I care about being clean before the Lord, so I forgive you anyway. I forgive you. I release you. I give it up. I don't want anything holding me back in my life. And I'm telling you, if you'll do this, Jesus knew it's powerful. And let me tell you something, your doctor will tell you too. Because there's actually scientific health benefits if you'll do that one. Here's the last one. Or next to the last one. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. You need to engage in spiritual warfare. See, Jesus, here's what he taught. You have an enemy in John 10:10. A thief who's come to steal, kill, and destroy. So you need to beware. You need to understand that he's always working. In Ephesians, Paul picks this up and he says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. In other words, it's not your ex-wife. It's not your in-laws. It's not your boss. It's not these things. It's not, oh, you know, the HOA. Is, you know, whatever. It's the enemy forces that work in the world. Trying to get you depressed, discouraged, trying to beat you down, trying to steal your kids from you, destroy their future, destroy their lives. And listen, what are you going to do about it? You better do something about it. And Jesus said we can do something about it. Prayer is communion with God and confrontation with the devil. And so we just say stuff like, no, devil, you're not going to have my five-year-old. It's not okay that you're trying to wreak havoc in my house. It is not okay that you're trying to get me all upset. It is not okay that you're trying to get me discouraged today. It is not okay. I take back every thought and make it obedient to Christ. I'm going to be an overcomer today. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. You are king of this house. You are king of my family. You are king of my health. You are king of all. And you pray like that. Fervent prayer. And here's the wind up. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. See, you express faith in God's ability. Lord, I know you're already moving. I know before the words left my lips, you've already got angels at work. The Holy Spirit's already moving and working in the world. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God. You ready? That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. See, I'm confident that when I go to my Father who loves me so much, he can't wait for me to get with him. He can't wait for me to talk to him. That I know when I speak, it doesn't matter if I'm in a hospital room or I'm in this room or I'm outside or wherever I am, he's anxious to hear my voice. And when I speak to him, I have confidence that he's hearing me when I pray. And church, that's what I want for you to pray with confidence this year and to see God move in 2026, maybe like he's never moved before. Let's pray. Father, help us this year to really, really make time for prayer, to confess to you, to get clean before you, to release others, to make prayer our first response, not our last resort. Oh, maybe you're here today and you say, oh, Craig, I'm ready for God to move in my home, my family, move in my life in 2026 like never before. I commit to him that this year I want to put him first. I want him to be preeminent in my life. I want to have a relationship with the Father like I've never had before, getting closer and closer to him every day of this year. If that's your desire, would you just lift your hand in the air? Come on, church. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Father, we reach up to you. Oh, we thank you that you love us so much. You love us so much. And you want to hear from each of us. And so, Lord, we commit ourselves on this first Sunday of this year that we will put you first in our lives. That nothing else will get in the way of our relationship with you. And God, we ask that as that happens, that we'll see healings like we've never seen before, miracles like we've never seen before. We'll see you move in our families, move in this community, move in our church like we've never seen you before. While we're still praying, maybe there's those of you in this room today that you don't have that kind of relationship with God, a relationship where you can just talk to him. Maybe you've been a religious person, but you haven't had a real relationship with God. And if you're here today and you say, oh, Craig, I need a relationship. I want a relationship with God. If a relationship with God is what God wants, that's what I want too. And I want to make that happen here today. I want to pray for you in a moment. Will you just raise a hand if that's you here today? And you say, yes, yes, I want a relationship. Yes, hands are in the air in this room. Online, just type the word decided in the chat. We're going to be praying for you as well. Come on, let's everybody pray this prayer so that those around us will pray it with confidence. Say, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me, to pay for all my sins. Today I confess Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. And as much as I know how, I surrender all to you. From this day forward, I want to be your child. Thank you for adopting me in. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's celebrate those who got adopted into God's family here today. Listen, if that happened to you on this card, there are a couple boxes that you can check. The card that you already filled out. One says, I'm committing my life to Christ. If you feel like, I think I did that for the first time. I've maybe done religion before, but I've never had a relationship with God. Then you can check that box. Or if you feel like today you came back to God, maybe you just said, you know what, 2026, I need to be in church. And you just decided, hey, I'm going to get my act together. I'm going to get in a relationship with God. Check that box. And we'll be praying for you to keep growing in the Lord this year. How many are ready for all God has for you in 2021 or 2026? I'm looking at this 21. I'm looking at it. I'm going back a few years. It feels like it was just 2021. How many are glad it was in 2020, though? The 21 days of prayer, commit yourself to it and see what God will do over these 21 days. Let's stand to our feet. I'm going to ask our prayer partners to come forward. If you need prayer for any reason at all and you'd just like somebody to pray with you, pray for you, they would love to pray with you before you go. Father, go with us out of this place. Help us to be a light in a dark world. Help us to have a vibrant relationship with you that other people want for themselves. And we ask that you'll just move now at this altar. Holy Spirit, draw every person who needs prayer down here to receive the prayer they need. And we pray that you'll do miracles yet in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.